Our gospel reading puts me in mind of the story of Chippy. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second, he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next, he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began for Chippy when his owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment at the end of the hose and stuck it into the cave. But at that moment, the phone rang, and she turned to pick it up. She had barely said hello when Chippy got sucked in. The bird's owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum cleaner, and opened the bag. And there was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust, hair, and all that other stuff you find in a vacuum cleaner bag, she grabbed little Chippy and raced to the bathroom, turned on the tap, and held Chippy under the running water and rinsed him off. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for her hair dryer, blasted poor Chippy with hot air. The little parakeet never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, a friend who had heard about Chippy's troubles contacted the owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, "Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. And who can blame him? Sucked in, washed up, and blown over, why, that's enough to steal the song from the stoutest little heart." In the gospel reading, we're told that a great storm arose. It wasn't a small one or a middling size one, it was a great one. The disciples, a number of whom were professional sailors who had sailed on this lake all their lives, were afraid for their lives. Climatologists who have studied this region say that because of the particular geography around the Sea of Galilee, a severe storm can indeed come up with no warning. A severe storm would comprise of great gusting winds and waves of up to 20 feet. Now, the fishing boats in Jesus' day were only 20 feet in length, 7 feet wide at their widest point. So, to get a perspective, this back wall is 10 feet high. To the top of the screens is about 20 feet. So if you're sitting in a boat, and the boat would be about from this rail to that rail in length, and about from the back wall to about right here in width at the widest point, if you were sitting down and you looked up and saw a wave that high, it would be pretty scary. And indeed, they were afraid for their lives. They thought they were going to die. They wake Jesus up with a, "Don't you care that we're going to die?" Jesus wakes up, looks around, gets up, and Scripture says he rebuked the winds. Well, what does that mean exactly? It's kind of like when I was a teacher. And there were times I would be called out of the classroom for a little while. And particularly when I was teaching junior high, when I got back, the kids were often a bit rambunctious. So I would come back into the room and say, "Get quiet, settle down." And the room would get quiet. And Jesus used that same sort of voice to tell the wind, "Stop it." And then he tells the waves, "Settle down." And just like my kids, they got quiet. And when this happened, his disciples were awestruck. What kind of man can talk to the winds and the winds obey. What kind of man can talk to the waves and the waves obey? That's what Mark, the gospel writer, is pointing out. No man can do that. Only God. Jesus turns to the disciples and says, "Why are you so afraid? Have you no faith?" Well, what kind of question is that? These guys have just gone through a near-death experience. Of course they're afraid. What was Jesus thinking? Well, Jesus expected his disciples to believe, to have faith in him. He was expecting them to have enough faith in him so that when they were facing death, they would turn to him and trust him. They had at this point in time seen Jesus heal the sick. They had seen him cast out demons with just the authority of his words. They had seen him cleanse lepers and paralytics. The reason Jesus asks them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" is because, in fact, they have been with him. They should have known his power. That they had fear is not a surprise. It's a logical reaction to the situation. But Jesus had expectations that they would turn to him in their distress and their great need. I want you to remember the people who first heard the Gospel of Mark. Scholars believe Mark wrote it in the early 60s, some 30 years after Christ's resurrection. It was written in Rome for the Roman believers. At that point in time, the Emperor Nero was killing the Christians. He was beheading them like he did St. Paul. He was crucifying them like he did St. Peter. He was sending them to the lions. He was tying them to posts, drenching them with oil, and then hoisting those posts up, putting them in his garden, and then at night he would light them and burn them alive in his gardens. So Jesus' question, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" would burn in their hearts as they faced their own deaths. The application for the story is obvious, isn't it? We're to trust Jesus in the midst of life's most trying storms. And he has the power to deliver us. There are times when Jesus tells the wind to be quiet and the waves to be still. And our lives are spared and he delivers us. He's God. He can do this. However, when this gospel story was first read aloud in Rome, those believers realized something else as well. There are times when Jesus does not calm the storm. There are times when wicked men like Nero are allowed to cruelly kill Christ's followers. And Christians are still being killed in modern times. Just last Sunday, as a matter of fact, in central Nigeria, Muslim Fulani herdsmen ambushed and killed two Christian men, Ibrahim Wary, I can't pronounce his name right, and Larry Moore, and they seriously wounded another fellow as they made their way home from a church service. These Christians were hacked to death by machetes. So why does God allow these things to happen? Job wondered the same thing. He got very angry with God and questioned the justice of God because of the sufferings he went through. Job's response, which we heard in our Old Testament reading this morning, was basically, "Who are you to question what I do? You don't know enough to question why I do what I do." In the epistle reading, we heard Paul tell the Corinthians that he and those with him had served God with great endurance. They had served him in great afflictions, in hardships, in beatings, in sleepless nights, in hunger. Clearly, Jesus had not always calmed the storms for Paul either. Yet, Paul trusted God. Why and how? Because Paul knew, as we know now, that God loves us. And since we know his great love for us, we're to trust him. There we are. We're in the boat. Jesus never promised that we wouldn't go through storms, but he did promise to stay in the boat with us. Speaking of boats, did you know that the boat is the symbol, or a symbol, for the church. In fact, it's always been a symbol for the church. Architecturally, the part of the church where you all are sitting is called the nave. This part up here is called the chancel. The part beyond the baptismal font is called the narthex. The word nave, linguistically speaking, is connected to our word navel. Literally, nave is the Latin word for ship. Symbolically, as we sit here in church, we are in the boat with the disciples. And if you look up at the ceiling, not this part there, but this part right above me, you'll note that it looks like the bottom of a boat. It was designed that way, so that when we come into church, we see that and remember we're in the boat. We're in the boat with Jesus. This brings us back to Chippy, our little parakeet. The owner said, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. And you know, that's what happens with some of us. We go through great traumatic times, and the song goes from our hearts as well. Let's look again at St. Paul. He says, we are treated as dying, and see, we're alive. We're punished, yet we're not killed. We're sorrowful, yet we're always rejoicing, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything. How can Paul say these things? Well, Paul was looking at the whole picture. Life is not just now with its pain and problems. Life includes tomorrow. Life includes heaven. Life includes God's great and mighty love for us. Life includes yesterday with its blessings and good memories. So let's not let the storms of today steal the songs and the hope from our hearts. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's in the boat with us, and he's going to bring us home safely through the storm. Amen.